brought to you by Penguin.
The Wonderful Adventures of Nils Holgersson by Selma Lagerlöf, read by Matthew Bainton. 1. The Boy. The Gnome. Sunday, 20th of March. There once was a boy. He was about 14 years old, tall and lanky and flaxen-haired. He wasn't good for much. Most of all, he liked sleeping and eating, and after that he liked stirring up mischief. Now it was a Sunday morning, and the boy's parents were getting ready to go to church. The boy himself was sitting in shirt sleeves on the edge of the table, thinking how lucky it was that both father and mother were leaving, so that he would be left to himself for a couple of hours. "Now I can take father's shotgun down and shoot it without having to ask anyone's permission," he said to himself. But it was almost as if his father must have guessed the boy's thoughts, because just as he stood on the threshold ready to go, he stopped and turned towards him. "Because you don't want to go to church with mother and me," he said, "I think that you can at least read the sermon at home. Will you promise to do that?" "Yes," said the boy, "I suppose I can do that." And to himself he said, of course, that he wouldn't read any more than he felt like. The boy thought that he'd never seen his mother so nimble. In a flash she was over by the wall shelf, took down Luther's book of sermons and set it on the table over by the window, open to the sermon for the day. She'd opened the book of Bible readings and set it next to the collection of sermons. Finally, she dragged the big armchair up to the table, the one that was bought at auction at the parsonage in Vemmenhög the year before, and which otherwise no one but father got to sit in. The boy thought that mother was going to far too much trouble with this preparation, because he did not intend to read more than a page or two. But now, for the second time, it was as if father could see right through him. He went up to the boy and said in a stern voice, "Remember to read properly, because when we come back I'm going to question you on every page, and if you've skipped anything, you'll suffer for it." "The sermon is 14.5 pages long," mother said, as if to top it off. "You'll have to start reading right away if you're going to get through it." With that, they finally left, and when the boy stood in the door and watched them, he thought that he'd been caught in a trap. "Now they're probably congratulating themselves for having been so clever that I'm stuck with that sermon the whole time they're gone," he thought. But father and mother were certainly not congratulating themselves about anything. In fact, they were rather distressed. They were poor farm folk, and their place was not much bigger than a garden patch. When they first moved there, it could not feed more than one pig and a couple of hens, but they were unusually industrious and capable people, and now they had both cows and geese. Things had gone quite well for them, and they could have walked content and happy to church that lovely morning if they did not have their son to think about. Father complained that he was sluggish and lazy. He did not want to learn anything in school, and he was so useless that you could barely get him to tend geese. And mother did not deny that this was true, but she was most distressed that he was wild and mean, cruel to animals and unkind to people. "May God break his malice and give him a different disposition," mother said. "Otherwise he will be a misfortune both for himself and for us." The boy stood a long time and wondered whether or not he should read the sermon. But then he told himself that this time it was best to be obedient. He sat down in the parsonage armchair and started to read. But when he'd been rattling off words half out loud for a while, it was as if that mumbling was making him drowsy, and he noticed that he was nodding off. Outside it was the most beautiful spring day. It was only the 20th of March, but the boy lived in Västra Vemmenhög parish far down in South Skåne, and there spring was already well underway. It was not green yet, but it was fresh and budding. There was water in all the ditches, and at their edges the coltsfoot was in bloom. All the scrubby brush growing on the stone wall had become brown and shiny. The beech forest far away.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?